And this year we broke 26 light butter and we broke 30 light butter. That is ridiculous. So there's a lot of upside in Zober now that the cat's out of the bag, so to speak. We're spending a lot of our time looking at cheap Zober companies and doing the research. And there's just a lot of value in that space.
What's up, John Finnick? How are you, man?
Hey, good, Andy. Good to see you.
It's good to see you. It's been a couple of months. So just wanted to, a lot of stuff moving on. Or gold and silver both had a great year. Want to get your thoughts, your year-end thoughts on that. What happened? Where are we at? And what are you looking for in the forward to in the first quarter of 25?
Sure. Yeah, gold had a stellar year. I've always seen 200 years like this in my career. For gold as a physical asset. Silver, you know, I think it's baby steps, right? So the gold to silver ratio is still extremely extended historically. However, silver being above 30 as we speak and holding 30 is insane to me from a technical perspective. Why? Because we had a real hard time breaking 26 an ounce for the entire second half of 2023, right? And this year we broke 26 light butter and we broke 30 light butter. That is ridiculous. So there's a lot of upside in Zober now that the cat's out of the bag, so to speak. We're spending a lot of our time looking at cheap Zober companies and doing the research. And there's just a lot of value in that space. We can talk a little bit about that later. I think, you know, investors should be happy if they own physical gold or silver with this year's performance. Next year, you said Q1. I mean, it's hard to say anything over a quarter. I do think that there's going to be tremendous volatility with our new president coming in. And I think that can only be good things for gold and silver. I don't think it's going to be this, you know, broad market party that we're seeing right now. I think we're seeing a lot of this year-end, you know, celebration because we call it, you know, a standard clause rally on Wall Street when I worked there, right? Portfolio managers trying to make their bonus happen by December 31st, buying overly risky stocks to do that, right? It happens every year in a bull market. If you look back over the last 15 years, it happens frequently. So, you know, when January 1st comes around, we'll see how things settle out. But I expect a lot more volatility in 2025 in the broad market.
So a couple of questions about that. First one is the Santa Claus rally. As a young trader, I made the big mistake of being short the market in December. So never will do that again. Second point is you, more than likely, I'm expecting to see a money dump into stocks in January, not only because of our new administration, but also just because money's sitting on the sidelines looking for a place to go. Would you share that same opinion?
Meaning that we'll see new flows to the broad market in January?
I would say into value is what I was in the broad market and into value.
Well, that's an interesting one. You know, most of my career is spent selling just regular mutual funds as a portfolio manager or assistant PM or a senior exec at a big shop, right? And it had nothing to do with gold or silver. It had to do with value versus growth. So I understand that story very, very well. We are clearly in a growth momentum market right now. Boom, done, said. You know, its value is thrown out the window. There is no value investing anymore. I mean, Newmont's trading at $40.50 as we speak. That is a value stock. No one wants it, right?
Right.
They've done a great job shedding their assets. They have a 35 RSI. No one cares. That should tell you a lot about the current state of the market, right? People are looking at technology. They're looking at AI-related investments. They're looking at anything they can get their hands on that's going to provide them with upside immediately. They don't care about, you know, buying Newmont at 40 and a half and watching it go to 50 and a half, right? They're not interested. So that's really good if you're a contrarian, right? Like, I mean, this is how you make money in the mining space, is buy what other people don't want to buy. Listen to Rick Rule's interviews, you know, that Rick's been on your show a number of times, right? I mean, he says this over and over again. You know, buy when people don't want to buy, when there's blood in the streets. And that's what you have to do in November, December in our sector.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should have rephrased it like that. I would 100% agree with you. And I think though value is going to move, money is going to flow into value, as I just don't see it. The momentum to the upside in momentum stocks sustaining past January, just my two cents, my opinion. So yeah, we'll see. Let's talk about value stocks. What are you looking at? What do you like? And also tell me about, you have a service, a newsletter service. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. As value managers, we post our track record publicly on fedexconsulting.com/performance. You can view how we've done there. We post it, you know, every quarter against GDX and J and the Russell. They think the Russell, the most aggressive U.S. index. So we try to show how we would do against something like that. And, you know, we're coming up on our 10-year history in 12 months, which is hard to believe publicly. But I've been doing this since year 2000 in this particular sector. I have a lot of passion for it, but we are value investors. We will not buy, you know, a snow line that's just running up last year, or a drill story that just runs and runs and runs like Patriot a few years ago on lithium. That's not what we do. You know, there's usually some hot money behind stuff like that. And we'd rather buy stuff that's completely out of favor and just be patient and make a lot of money that way. Right. So I have two services, Andy, really, with clients. One is a real-time update service, which is today on non-farm payrolls. You know, 3 minutes after non-farm payrolls came out, that, you know, the estimate was 200K. We came in at 227K. This is how gold and silver are trading at the onset. But, you know, unemployment was flattish. And, you know, this is what we think for the broad market for the next, you know, trading session, right? So, like, we try to provide macro stuff like that, as well as Fed-related stuff, and where there's public news in the mining or energy space, we'll put some things out. Like, hey, there was the Power Nickel announced that they're going to complete their spinoff of their gold assets, right? Like, I think that's something that investors might miss sometimes, but it's really important if you are thinking about building more of a position. Why not do it now when you can, you know, get the spinoff, you know, of a perfectly good asset that Power Nickel's just not willing to focus on right now, right? So we bring that to investors' attention. The newsletter really just is out twice a month, and it basically says, the last issue we had, Andy, was about RSI, Relative Strength Index. And it talks to, when you're in that 30 to 40 RSI range, you're kind of thrown out the window and you're getting oversold. And that's when you want to start looking at some of these stocks. I highlighted a bunch. We'll just talk gold first. I mean, Next Gold, NXGCF, that is a 6 million ounce gold play now if the Stigwell Gold merger goes through, which I think it will here literally next week. So you don't have a long time to wait as an investor. It's trading at 47 cents US, ridiculously priced. We bought more at just over 46 here about a week ago. I think, you know, when you can say you're combining one good leadership with another good leadership and figuring out, you know, a new entity that is heavily invested in by Frank Giustra, that has a lot more chance of success, right? And you're seeing more and more of this, you know, merger of equals happening in our sector. And it's here to stay. I think M&A is going to continue to be really, really good for 2025 and 2026 in our sector. Another one would be Golden Caribou. GCBFF, they put out about 15 to 20 holes so far. But what's interesting to me is that Frank has put two other mines in production. So I always look for, you know, seasoned people in this space that have a lot more experience than I do in the field, that have good field teams, that have good relationships with First Nations, right? They understand the jurisdiction cold, there's good infrastructure, and they're hitting, I mean, like they're hitting visible gold in all these holes. So it's like, how is this thing at 12 cents with a RSI of 38, right? Like, it's like unbelievable to me that people are looking at this more closely because, you know, Frank's, I came out of retirement. I can do this for 5 years. I mean, I think, you know, that he'll just continue to drill that thing and sell it to someone in a year or two, right? That's kind of like our timeline is a year or two on a name like that. But that gives you a couple of gold ideas. Yeah, I wanted to talk about royalties because royalties are something that you and I never touched too much on. Is that okay?
Please. I'm very interested in royalties. In fact, I spoke to my dear old mother, who's very interested in gold, and my stepfather about royalties. And I think that's what they should be primarily in. So, go ahead.
Yeah. But fair to say, Vox Royalty is our largest royalty holding, VOXR, on the NASDAQ. It produces a yield, which, you know, people should be interested in, right? A little over 2%.
Absolutely.
Trading at 258 right now, I believe, U.S. Did a ton of volume over three a few weeks ago. A ton. So, I mean, there's definitely still in buying this thing as a long-term play. And it was a sustained rally over three in that three range for weeks. So, I mean, that's really bullish. Yeah. So you buy something like this in the 250 range, and you watch it go to three in 12 to 18 months, and you clip a coupon along the way. I mean, that's kind of how we see the royalty business. But the one we really like right now that we're starting to put bids out on is ECORA, ECRAF in the States. It's a London-based royalty play. It's got a number of royalties in production like Vox, but it's been completely thrown out the window. If you look at the chart, it doesn't look like Vox's. It looks really quite bad, but it is bottoming. And that's what we look for as value managers, right? When the pain has reached a certain spot on the chart, and you start seeing volume, that's where you start getting more interested. For us, that's 78 to 80 cents US. It seems to be holding that level quite nicely. Now, it's December. Who knows? We're trading at 83 cents. Could go to 75. It could go to 70. But your downside risk is limited. I think as a value manager, that's important to tell your listeners. You want to look at every buy or sell as, what is my risk? What is my reward? That's what we do every single day. My risk on something like Vox could be $2, because if you look at the chart, it traded at $2 earlier in this year. So there's more risk in that actually than ECORA right now for us, where it could go to 70. Yeah, it could go to 65, but from 80-ish, like, that's not a huge move. We could see $1.20 though on the upside, $1.30 we think next year, as they have more of their assets focused on copper that are getting closer to production or in production. And so we like that company as a you know, royalty play that starting to get a little more love from some analysts and some articles they see out there, but it's still like really undervalued versus the peer group.
About that, you mentioned your risk. Do you typically average in, or tell me about your entry points. Do you typically average in?
That's a great question. So with Vox, you know, we bought that first time 3 years ago, right around $1.80, $2. And then we bought it all the way to about 250, 260 on the way up. We sold a little bit around 310. And now we're buying it back. If it gets back to 220 or 230 or 240 again, right? We'll just rinse and repeat and ride it back to three and sell a little bit more. But we don't sell a lot of our royalties, because royalties are just a less risky way to play gold and silver and copper, right, for us.
Yeah, got it. Also, talking with Rick Rule about this several times, and you mentioned this, the buying when things are really low as a value investor. He has this saying, he loves hate. So my question to you is, are there any hated asset classes, not specifically stocks, but asset classes that are becoming on your radar right now going into 25?
Absolutely. I would say nickel. Nickel was down 43% as a commodity in 2023. Ridiculous. Nickel is not something that is like a small name in the commodity world, right? It's a major, major part of the commodity world. Palladium, I just saw that one of my competitors, or, you know, peers, Stuart Thompson, who's an ex-Merrill guy like me, wrote up palladium and thinks there's 50% upside in palladium over the next 12 months. The ticker on that would be PALL. Nickel doesn't really have a reliable ETF, in my opinion, but PALL is pretty good. And then platinum, PPLT, you know, all three of those are just like ridiculously depressed. However, there's a reason behind the depression, and that reason is Russia. Russia produces a lot of all three of those, right? So when Russia figures out this whole Ukrainian situation, with or without the help of the U.S., that's where we're going to be putting a huge position on all three of those. We're deciding to play that through equities right now more than anything, Andy. We have bought a little bit of PALL, about 11% higher than here. You know, for me, like, you may know this company, Stillwater, PGEZF, It's trading at 8.5 cents right now. We just bought a little more right here this week. It's trading like it's going out of business, but it's clearly not, because it has a 15% JV with Glencore, who's, you know, a top five commodities player, right? And their main project is in Montana. So it's like, I don't understand where these things are priced right now. Some of them are just trading really, really wonky, but that's an opportunity as a value manager.
Yeah, I would agree with you on nickel. And just full disclosure, I've spoken to Terry Lynch several times, and he is a sponsor of my site. I will soon be an investor. I spoke with him just last week. I have spoken with Michael at Stillwater. I'm very interested in the company, but I am not as of yet an investor, but that more than likely will change over the next couple of weeks. Any final thoughts here going into 25 here that we'd have?
I think it's going to be a banner year for commodity equities, and I don't know where commodity prices are headed, but you want to own equity like we're talking about today, because the upside in equities is higher, right? Because there's leverage to the underlying commodity, and you'll probably get paid for the first time since 2020 for that risk that you're taking, right? This year you saw it in certain names, like, for example, tungsten, right? We've talked about valuation twice before. You can't buy a tungsten ETF. It's very difficult to buy exposure to tungsten, but you can buy a tungsten equity like Gold, you know, Guardian, which is GMTLF. And that we bought first around 15, 16 cents. Now it's trading at 40, right? And we think it's going higher. There's just no tungsten equity exposure you can buy out there. It's one of three names in the space. There's Demesne in Idaho. There's Guardian in Nevada. And then there's FireRead up in Canada, and that we own all three of them in full disclosure. So, like, we're just playing a little subsector of the commodity world through three equities that have virtually hardly any coverage on the street at all. And we love that, because I think that next year, you said what to look for. Look for the U.S. and China and duke it out. Like, that's what's going to happen. And we're going to be entering a much more aggressive environment for U.S.-China news flow. And you have to be prepared for that as an investor.
Yeah. I've interviewed Oliver Friesen twice with Guardian. I am not an investor as of yet, just full disclosure. All right. Yeah. Thanks, John. Really appreciating your time. Love to have you on again, maybe first part of the new year.
That was great, Andy. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.